Thinking of popping the question? Diamonds Direct has an offer you can't miss. This month only, buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. No one provides education, selection, and value like Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet from your friends at Diamonds Direct won't last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The BMW i4 M50. It's 100% electric and 100% BMW. Experience the power of over 500 horses stampeding at a whisper as BMW M-engineered handling takes you through every twist and turn. The complete suite of intuitive technology keeps you connected. The pure performance keeps your heart racing. The BMW i4 M50. Silence has never said so much. BMW, the ultimate electric driving machine.
Hi, I'm Kate Berlant.
I'm Jacqueline Novak.
And this is Poog, an ongoing conversation about wellness between two obsessive friends.
Two untamable intellects.
This is our hobby.
This is our hell.
This is our naked desire for free products.
This is Poog.
Today's topic?
Loosely speaking.
The fact that we both went to Juilliard.
Hey.
I feel like I'm more of a listener today for the first time in my life. I usually can't listen.
Are you on Adderall?
No. You know me so well that you are assuming I'm on Adderall because I'm leaning back in my chair, my knee is rocking back and forth, and I'm listening?
I don't know, because I know you have said in the past that when on Adderall, you steamroll.
I'm sore.
So I was just curious. I guess I was just curious, or what kind of listening I was in for.
I actually haven't taken an Adderall pill in months, not out of trying to abstain, but just it hasn't been in my mood to be on cocaine.
You drive yourself into that.
I find that Adderall is stronger than cocaine, actually. Yeah.
I've never done cocaine, but
I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I've never thought it would be good for me. Obviously, I would love the high. I would love the high.
It's just you can't do it anymore. Wait, it's like, are you out of your mind? I mean, you have to give it up.
I could have been one of the great cocaine addicts. I really could have been.
It would have been good on you.
I would have soared. I'd be so much farther than I am today.
I mean, politically, you just can't do it anymore. You know, these people screaming about socialism at their parties and then doing cocaine. It's just completely insane. So you cannot partake.
Now, not to reveal ignorance, but what exactly is the connection you're suggesting politically between...
Well,
what's the...
See, no, I love how, an effort for you to not reveal your ignorance, you are now setting me up to reveal my profound ignorance, which is that I watched Cartel Land once,
right,
basically, right. Which I, if anyone wants to dabble in cocaine, watch Cartel Land and you'll see that the, you know, horrific violence that's inextricably linked. Yes. And
I see.
The human toll. Yeah, it makes it hard to think about like enjoying a bump, you know, while
we
you're
sore on rhetoric here, though. You know, to be clear, rhetoric is the wind beneath our wings, right?
Rhetoric is all we have.
All we have is kind of the thrust as our friend John Early says, cadence over content. Okay. And yeah. I think we, you know, we dip back and forth between the two. Okay. But we must see, my mother, for example, was raising questions about certain things I've said on Poog, you know, almost going, well, it wasn't this, it was actually this, that sort of thing. Well, actually, last year I did put the presents out earlier than blah, blah, blah. And I've had to explain, mother, as an someone who struggles with being addicted to nuance at all costs, at the cost of boring others while I try to get it dead right, I have to at times aim for some kind of statement that is a statement. Such as, my mother never blah, 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 to communicate at all.
So even if it's not factually accurate.
I mean, I'm not one of these don't let facts get in the way of a good story people. I do like for the facts to pull on you.
Embellish.
Or at least
your die one day. Embellish. I don't care. Add a detail. Tell me, like, who cares?
Entertain at all costs.
Entertain at all costs. And of course, I'm not endorsing pathological lying. And I used to dip into some deep lying. I was an absolute liar as a child. And they were benevolent lies, but I'd become pathologically, I would begin to believe them myself. Like, I'll just say quickly, but they're so mundane in this devastating way. I'm an only child. And I lied about having an older brother. And I went to school and my friend Kimmy, a dear friend of mine, this was in the seventh grade, she came over to my house for a play date and she said something about, oh, like, where's your brother? And I was like, I don't have a brother. And she was like, I forgot about the lie. And she was like, you told me you had an older brother named Adam. And I was like caught in the lie. So that's devastating.
Did you ever ask your parents about any failed pregnancies? AKA,
shockingly,
maybe Adam
no.
was real. Maybe Adam
no.
was real.
Oh, dark, wow. Right? No. He's not. But there was an urge for an Adam. There was an urge for brethren, for protection, for the idea of somebody teaching me how to, you know, ride a bicycle, perhaps. And then I lied also about having a black Labrador dog named Shadow. And then one time, and this is a real memory, somebody came over to the house and an adult brought a toy for Shadow. The adult had to know Shadow wasn't real. So this adult was trying to somehow support my phantom dog, right? Kind of support the narrative.
It wasn't real, right? It wasn't like they showed up. There was no Shadow.
I just remember the dog. I remember the dog toy and being like, and then kind of being confused and being like, see, Shadow is real. And say I lied about being Curly Sue, that was me.
Well, let's take a minute with that because this is a 6-minute chuckle for me. Okay. You lied about being Curly Sue, about having been
Curly Sue. And I believed
played
it.
Curly Sue. Now, when did you?
Well, in my mind, I was like Curly Sue's age. And I was like, well, that might as well be me. So
that's very good.
For those who don't know, Curly Sue was an early 90s film, perhaps even late 80s, that I haven't seen in ages. But the star is, you guessed it, she's got curly brown locks, much like myself. I think it's Jim Belushi and Andy McDowell. Is it not? I would look it up, but who cares? And I just really believed that that was me. And so I told some folks.
I think that's one of your gifts. Okay.
What?
I think you are able to manifest realities. Okay. Through a slippery relation to the truth.
Writing it down. Yeah.
Many of us could benefit.
Or don't
from.
Need to. It's a podcast. But yeah.
Well, like, let me give an example. You had a quote somewhere on one of your materials at some point, right? That said like something like you're David Lynch's favorite comedian.
you're bad. That's not true. I have to stop you. It's that. This is so funny. Dan St. Germain, a stand-up comedian back in New York
pounding the mic.
Dan St. Germain once said that my stand-up or something was like, if David Lynch did stand-up. That's what you're thinking.
No. Indeed.
I wanted to create a lie. And by the way,
it's possible you told me, because here's what I'm saying.
I don't think I ever.
Seeing some version of it somewhere, okay, that may have been even like you said it on stage as a joke or something. It could be, okay?
Yeah.
But I thought I saw it somewhere specifically, like maybe someone quoted, misquoted. Okay. But I saw it because I then reached out and said, is this quote from David Lynch real? Like, cause I was like, I was racked with jealousy, of course.
Of course. Okay? Can you imagine?
So there was that. And then, and then I'm forgetting another one. Nurse Jackie.
Oh, that's right. I used to have fake credits cause I had no credits. So I'd have people be like, you know her from Nurse Jackie, Kate Berlant. And it's great. Cause like people go, And that was just kind of fun. It's just fun.
No, we you know, comedians.
It was always Nurse Jackie
credits.
For me. That was always Nurse Jackie.
No, right. And it's perfect. And everyone's like,
because everyone else's credits is like, he's got a Comedy Central, whatever. Yes. Da, 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 da. And so that was mine. I just want to say that I wanted to spread a lie. And I was even considering really kind of starting to spread it I was going to spread a lie that I went to Juilliard, because I was like, that actually, I think if people thought I went to Juilliard for acting, I would never say that. No, I guess I was considering, like, what if just I started telling people to kind of start slipping that into conversation? Because then I did go to Juilliard.
Because I did go to Juilliard.
Okay, see, I know you're lying.
Okay. No. I know, but here's the thing. Here's
you too well.
I was silent with the excitement, okay? Because currently, and I had to take it out for space, and then I had to put it back in because I missed it too bad. Currently, in my profile, okay, on Instagram, I don't say I went to Juilliard, but I do have a quote that's meaningful to me from Save the Last Dance, okay, that I think is both hilarious and whatever, which is, do you want Juilliard?
Oh my God, I've never noticed that. That's in your Instagram bio?
Yes. Okay, dash Save the Last Dance. I assume it's there unless I made room to promote something, okay? Because
yeah,
it's not there right now. Fuck, okay? It was there literally a week ago, okay? And it's going back in. It's going back in. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But yeah, everything about Juilliard. Juilliard is the catnip to my ego in a way that the devastation of not having gone to Juilliard. I mean, you talk about there being no language for exercise in the home growing up. I feel like no one raised the possibility of Juilliard generally to me. You know, like I just truly thought it was something others found their way to. And I don't even know what I would have gone for.
You know what I'm realizing? I'll just say that part of my lying, my mother tells a story about how she lied. My mom has a self-consciousness of having not gone to college. Mm. And she was at some party, some dinner party, and the topic of Harvard came up, and someone was like, who went to Harvard? Maybe it was like a, it was some kind of like gala or something, or like there was like someone in the microphone and people at tables. And my mom raised her hand and just like to kind of gain the power of like, I went to Harvard, right? And people kind of looked at her like, oh, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then a friend that knows her goes, you didn't go to Harvard. And she was like, I went for 2 years. I left.
See, that's the gift. You have that gift, that lie, that secondary lie, the defense lie. I heard you in that so hardcore. The I won't have 2 years left. That's like a you lie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's very good. It makes sense. I don't know. I hear you in that. It's like wild.
No,
it's
realizing like, that's totally my mother's influence. Because how dare you tell me I didn't go to Juilliard? Who the hell do you think you are? And all that me going to Juilliard really means to you.
Right.
Is me saying I went to Juilliard.
This is huge, and I think this is huge.
So I did go to Juilliard. I did.
Totally. No, as did I. That's why I was trying to claim it earlier. I was trying to, because I felt that it was very clear that there was a benefit to doing this, okay, psychologically. And so I said, well, you know, I did go to Juilliard. That was me dropping right into it.
Yes,
of course,
yes.
You shut me down instantly.
Apologies.
And I understand, you know. But no, we went to Juilliard. Harvard, though, can be a curse where it becomes, if someone has gone to Harvard, right? That causes me to ask myself, do I think they, do I think they are up to the snuff of what I believe Harvard is? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So if someone's gone to Harvard, that causes me to pose a question of how smart do I think they are, right? Are they matching up to Harvard? Are they below? Are they absolutely above? So like I have a friend who went to Harvard who I regularly, anytime she does something genius, I'm like, Harvard, okay?
Going obviously to Harvard, not that she got so over the top.
Okay, not that she got the genius there, of course, right? But I go, that's the Harvard, okay? There it is. That's the essence in you that was Harvard bound, okay, from the start. And then there's other people who I find out go to Harvard, I never forget it because I go, they're a fool and an asshole. I do not see how they slipped through.
Inherited wealth. I mean, that's because at this point, if you're going to Harvard, if you're still, you know, dining at the table of the Ivy League, like it's so antiquated. We know college is like essentially useless and a Ponzi scheme. Like, unless, you know, yes, of course, for the friendships and be exposed to new ideas, but also do that in your apartment with your friends or like, download a goddamn syllabus. Like more and more.
Huge.
And it's really great that college should be like kneecapped, right?
Kneecapped.
And it's unaffordable. And there's no protection.
Like hitting the knees? Is that what you mean?
Hitting the knees, yeah.
Is that a mob term?
I think so.
The ease with which you said it, yeah, it's got to be kneecapped. It's like, wait.
I know you think it was like, yeah, so, you know, college should be, you know, revealed for what it kind of truly is or kind of what it allegedly promises has been
right.
revealed to be a lie. you know, so we know that now. And so having like wearing the Harvard sweatshirt in this world now is so strange. Like, I'm obviously not actually saying that it's like wearing like a swastika, but there's something about it that feels like there's something about because we also know that that system is like deeply like racist and like like so fucked up and corrupt. And so it's like you're holding on with a white knuckle grip to these symbols that have been kind of stripped of their power. And so, but they still hold power. So
totally,
like if I were to walk around in a Yale sweatshirt, but it does make me kind of scream with power in a certain way.
No, right. Can you use the symbol?
I'm going to buy a Juilliard sweatshirt. I just realized racing. Okay. I'm absolutely racing because I think if I start Lima going to Juilliard and then someone calls me on it, I'll just go, I haven't actually decided yet.
No. But you, I agree. I flew forward with this. Okay. Because in my mind, so someone goes, you know, I know you didn't go to Juilliard. Okay. And I scream out, of course, you don't know shit about me first. I say, in a general sense, even to a good friend. Right. I go, what does that mean to you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I investigate their ideas.
It says more about them.
Around Juilliard. Okay. So it's like, or you know what I go? You didn't go to Juilliard. And I go, you did. Okay.
That's crazy.
Okay. I'm going, you did. I did. We all did. Okay.
Yeah.
If we want to. For me, you know, the fantasy of Juilliard and is young prodigy. That's what it's about for me. I've always yearned to be a young prodigy.
For me, it's the sex.
Sex? It's sex, like, behind the
Juilliard, it's so 90s.
Well, also, it's, what's that other dance movie?
I'm looking up Juilliard sweatshirt.
New York. It's not ABT, but it's like ABT. It's called something else.
Ugh.
There's the ballerinas.
Sorry, I'm scoffing at the contemporary Juilliard font, but continue. Sorry. That I will be buying this sweatshirt.
No, I want to see it. I want to see it.
It's heinous. It's like Helvetica's uncle. I don't know. It's a bad one. It's like, go for the classic. Go for the, like...
They're trying to modernize with a sans serif kind of, like, yeah, give me serif.
The font doesn't have this, but the font is communicating as if the sweatshirt said Juilliard, period.
Of course.
Like, that's like that. Which is
no,
so...
No, I get that. Ugh. And Juilliard, period, to me, is like it's like, Juilliard, need I say more?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like, here, I'm going to have to go to eBay to buy good-ass Juilliard. Yes. Yeah, here's a vintage 90s Juilliard sweatshirt, size XL, $50, free shipping, but it's XL.
Yeah, I know you don't wear XL. I love an XL.
No, I love a big one.
So I'll expect a package delivered quite soon. I'm racing because I'm afraid. This is the race of eBay. Are you going to catch it before I do? Hold on.
Okay, oh,
vintage. Bitch. Shopping with a friend.
I'm watching it.
Vintage. Pre-owned.
I should hope so.
Vintage Juilliard sweatshirt. Do you recall Shopping with a Friend? Like,
what's that?
It's not a film or a movie. Book.
Shopping with a Friend as being a movie.
Wait, this doesn't make sense. Oh, you know what? Well, here's a big question. Did you spell Juilliard right? I'm pretty sure I did.
Okay? I did.
You know about the I in the first part of the word?
I learned the hard way. But I know now.
But yeah, to be like the shame of a well-rounded liberal arts education, you know, like I was ashamed before I went into it and I was ashamed after, but the seduction of well-roundedness.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say this Juilliard sweatshirt that's in the font of like the Woody Allen Manhattan movie. Like that's how I recognize it with like the buildings as the letters. But something about that.
No, that's not it. That's like they were trying to be cute.
But it's XL, which I like a big sweatshirt, but
send it to me.
Okay, I'm buying it now.
Don't buy it now. Okay, send it to me. Can you just give me what your search term was? Okay, because I'm going to outbid you because I'm not cheap like you.
I'm submitting the offer.
All right, I think you get the idea. And I think you have sense from the tone of my voice. It's time to go to ad.
Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is.
That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel.
And if you want to learn a new language this year, I guarantee it'll be one of your favorite sounds too.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching.
So you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Babbel is convenient. Kate and I talk about it all the time.
Love the way Babbel helps you for those quick real-world interactions.
Like how to order food or ask for directions. How to have a decent conversation with a merchant.
And who doesn't want to go on vacation and know the language?
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners.
Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/poog. Get 60% off at babbel.com/poog.
Spelled BABBEL.com/poog. Rules and restrictions may apply.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're probably careful with your personal information. But what about the other places that have it? Like the doctor's office that mixed up your files. They have your social security number. The power company that mistakenly cut your service has your payment info and last three addresses. And the hotel that lost your reservation has your passport info. Your information is in endless places out of your control. Any one of them could accidentally expose you to hackers and identity theft through lax security, breaches, or simple mistakes. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to a wide range of threats. If your identity is stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Mistakes happen. Don't let not having protection be one of them. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 40%. Terms apply.
Thinking of popping the question? Diamonds Direct has an offer you can't miss. This month only, buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. No one provides education, selection, and value like Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet from your friends at Diamonds Direct won't last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
News freaks, we're back in the podcast.
So I am regularly seduced. Kate, have you put in your order yet? Because your eyes are cast downward.
Sorry, give me one second.
As if not to the heavens, but to hell itself, aka the phone. What if you perceived everyone looking down at their phone? Okay, you chose to perceive that not as them looking down at their phone, but them staring down at hell. Well, it's funny. Really interesting. Like across the table, their eyes they can't cast away from. Well,
by the way, they are looking towards hell because they're looking towards social media. And we got to make a note: we have to do a social media addiction episode.
I know it's one of your big concerns. One of
my big
I know.
Concerns of life.
Well, and it's relevant here, but I do want to briefly talk about Juilliard led me to young prodigyism. Okay. Mm-hmm. Seduces me. It has time and again. Oh, do I love a movie or, you know, a show about a young genius? Okay. I was not called a young genius. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I yearn for it.
That surprises me, honestly.
People thought I was dumb. because I said like a lot.
Right. Misogyny.
Yeah. And so I have a chip on my shoulder. I have a classic chip on my shoulder where I go, that guy, he's talking like I could tell he thinks I'm some kind of idiot. I mean, it's a literal chip on the shoulder. You know, it's ugly. It's ugly to. Okay, are you still doing your order? Because I'm seeing.
I'm not.
Like,
my hands are up here.
Moving. Okay?
My hands are up here. They're under my. They're actually under my. I swear to God, there's not a device in my hand. No, I'm sorry. I'm a little quiet here because I'm actually thinking like, wow, I've actually never longed to be a child genius. I was treated
as one,
as being like, as we've covered on Poog, I couldn't do math. I was exempt from math my senior year because I was holding down the whole class. But I was also,
we've talked about it, but never talked about it. And we're going to talk about it today. Early education. Yes.
I want to say quickly, the problem of being an overly charming child, which I'm afraid I was, of course, that I was able to charm. I'm having this flashback, my math teacher, to let me show home videos of myself during class. And I just remember that.
As a child?
That I was like, I mean, I say child. It was like, you know, the eighth grade, ninth grade. Right. Yeah. And no, okay, I know I'm not fabricating this memory. I have to reach out to a friend. I just remember being like showing home videos of myself being funny when I'm little and the whole class loving it. And that was like totally allowed.
Now the memories of the whole class loving it.
That might be a fabrication.
Which is hysterical, right?
Well, there's also something about, there's nothing more embarrassing, and we all fall into this trap. It's particularly hard when you see attractive, hot actresses posting photos of themselves as little children, right?
Okay. I'm so excited right now.
It's
okay?
Hard, yeah.
The posting of the picture of oneself in one's youth.
Which I have fallen prey to. I have,
of course,
I have,
and as have I, okay? Profound narcissism, right?
Profound, calcified, terminal narcissism.
That is artifact of narcissism. It is narcissism is most extreme because what's so ugly about it, okay, and so sad. It's a belief that one's current present image is meaningful enough, okay? Meaningful enough and important to people that they could only, okay, be fascinated to see the evolution and that which led to... that which led to that which you know and love currently. It's like showing your
that's
work.
Exactly.
It's like, let me show my work.
Like, that's
let me see,
exactly
you know what we got here. And it's all, well, this is a big problem with documentary. Okay. Okay. So home videos are also similar to celebrity. Okay. Home videos, videos of you as a child or videos of you puttering around the kitchen, whatever.
Blowing
any
out
of that,
the birthday candles.
Okay. Yeah. Any of that. Even sort of current day, whatever. You better be dying or you better be the former first lady. Okay.
Wait, what?
Because I've spent time thinking about this when I'm watching documentary footage of someone and deciding whether or not it is deeply self-indulgent, you know, or whether it has meaning.
Have we not covered, is this a Poog thing or just something I've screamed about? Because I hate in documentaries when they show the subject, the old Super 8 footage of the person puttering around the yard with a hose as a baby. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, it's like, we're here because they murdered 18 people. I don't want, like, I'm not like, but they were a baby once. It's like,
oh, you mean
no,
a
we
documentary
know that.
About a criminal, for example.
I guess that's what I'm thinking.
Okay,
but even
that there's inherent meaning in seeing a criminal as a baby.
Or like, I don't need to see a photo of Joe Biden as a four-year-old to be like,
to
think.
Elect him president.
Actually, I guess there is something, and this is why we continue to repost the baby photos, because there is something about looking at the photo of the baby arrested in time and the knowledge that then it became Joe Biden or whatever. It's like, little did they know. Right. And it floods us with these images of the banal everyday occurrences that happen to celebrities. It's like, I too aged. Like, that's what's so weird about it. It's like celebrity
stars
being like,
they're just like us. Is it stars? They're just like us.
Yeah. I too have aged. I too was a child. And it's, you know, we know as if they're acknowledging how they have achieved this level that's so beyond the imagination because of their fame, that to see them as a child would shock us. Because
completely.
We need them to have always been, you know,
suspended,
Kim Basinger,
to have transcended to that. And then you look for it in the the endless, you know, see what the stars looked like in high school. I mean, the classic was like,
I know,
you know, Nicole
Kidman.
They're
barely
Kidman,
recognizable too. It doesn't
you know,
even work.
Nicole Kidman, she was considered awkward because she was a 6 foot tall model. You know, that whole like thing, like the kind of like they were nerdy and kept themselves, whatever. But like looking at the yearbook photo of the star, right? It's like you stare at them. and you try to see inevitability, right? You try to, exactly. You try to find inevitability for them. The and then you look at yourself and ask, is there inevitability of greatness in you?
That's amazing.
You know, wait, two things. Okay. Documentary. I need to explain First Lady. Don't let me forget.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. Classically.
Okay. Classically, I love and support interruption as the means of Jewish conversational style.
I know, but to others not raised with that style, it appears as harm.
It is rapport establishment to interrupt and to disagree, to point out inconsistencies, et cetera, et cetera. These are ways of showing engagement, you know, and we do it freely here. And the joy that's evidenced, I mean, maybe people think we're extremely evolved for not being offended by, you know,
I've tried to take that approach in my personal life, and I see that it does read as harm. It does read as not listening and narcissism as much as I.
But there are certain,
you, John, there are some people that I can engage in that kind of conversational flow with. Anyway, continue.
So wait, but to return to the narcissism issue, okay, the photos of oneself, the footage. So I'll be watching something and deciding whether it's self-indulgent. And for me, I've watched documentaries where someone is dying, okay? Here's an even simpler example. Someone is dead, right? Then footage of their life now has meaning, right? Them puttering around the kitchen, okay? Says something to us about the nature of existence, okay?
Yeah.
Former First Lady, okay? I say, because it's sort of a people that we hold as bigger than life, right? For whatever reason, it does fascinate us and seems reasonable. Okay. I guess that's what I'm saying. I guess I'm saying the baby pick of the celebrity I support because it does interest me, right? For that reason, right? Mm-hmm. The important person, these things. But the other thing is Joe Biden, how could he have been a baby? I was a baby. Well, now I can vote for him because he too was a baby. But what that reminds me of, okay, and this is this may have to get cut if it doesn't come out right, okay, if it sours into harm, into listener harm. Okay, if it oxidizes as it falls out of my mouth, okay? Okay, but this is one of my notions, okay? Okay, are you ready? Why are we so obsessed or addicted, or why do we take such pleasure in before and after photos? Okay. Okay. This is huge. Okay. Are you ready? So let's just take, and this is the ugly example, and I may do a different example after as whatever, but wait. Okay.
Of course. The classic now, before and after.
And my favorite before and after, you know, they would do different iterations of this in The Biggest Loser, a show that I, you know, adored. the classic was, because I always think of this as the experience the vulva undergoes with the curtain of the hymen, okay? Which is they used to do this thing where they would have a poster, a full-size poster of the person before going on the show. And then in the finale, so they'd have that out there. And then they entered the stage by bursting through the photo of themselves.
Of course. Classic.
And landing on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. That was great. They also did things where they made them run with their previous weight on. Okay. Like a fat suit of their previous weight. They made them run in it, whatever. Okay. So I love nothing more than to look at a before and after photo, you know, of almost anything. But let's say whatever, an advertisement for a weight loss product. Okay, wrinkles, whatever the fuck it is. But let's just take weight. Let's go do weight. It's not. You're looking at a before and after picture. Something in you, your brain is lighting up. Okay, something in you is excited and enjoys it and wants another. Let me swipe through. I'm always disappointed when there aren't many before and after. I want as many as I can, right? And there's an experience of delight, excitement, and wonder. Okay, now, let's say it's, look, after a year of exercise and diet, I lost 100 pounds. See the picture on the left, see the picture on the right.
Mm-hmm.
The wonder, and this is what's ugly, the wonder, the disbelief, the excitement is not the fact that they lost the weight, okay? Or the fact that this diet and exercise caused them to lose the weight. The wonder, as your eyes pass back and forth between left and right, is... how can those be the same person?
I was going to say.
How can those be the same soul? How is it possible that that go-getter is the same as that lazy slob? Okay. And that's the utter darkness. I believe that something on that, our inability to separate the soul from the body. Okay.
Yeah.
Is why there's wonder, and you stare and you go, that's the same person, same soul. And you become deeply aware of your own prejudices around these things.
It's also just the need to like want to look at ugly photos of other people.
Well, Chris always said like everyone watches American Idol to see like the bad, you know, oh, look at this poor loser thinks they can sing. And I was like, I don't watch it for that reason. I watch it because I love to see like he who didn't, you know, think he could ever make it, make it.
Yeah. The body. Sorry, I'm a little distracted because I'm still in that body, the soul, because we've talked about that. And that's, was it Plato? Sorry. You know, I had this, it was like, oh, the beautiful soul creates the beautiful person, right?
Right. And it's just not fair.
Right. But it's like, it is so hard. We cannot, there used to be this like the platonic idea that like the physical person is actually a representation of the inner world.
Wait, do you mean the old school idea that like if you had warts, it was because your soul, what, like you were morally compromised?
Which is like, right. Yeah.
You mean the ugly
notion. By the way, we still talk about wellness, talk about poog. There still is this obsession with the vessel as an expression of the interior world. So if you are having pimples, if you are having bloating, if you are having these things, there is, first of all, something wrong.
Right.
And that it's an indication, some moral failing while you've been gorging yourself on dairy and wine, you hog, right? Or you're stressed, or you're not in the right career. If you were in the right career, it would express itself on your skin.
I remember when Carrie Bradshaw didn't want to get married, and that's why she broke out in the wedding dress. Okay, it's similar.
I think it should be I think everyone should have someone rip a wedding dress off their back at some point. Just as a performance.
As an act. Yeah, didn't you always want to get married in a blood-drenched wedding dress or something? No. Did I imagine this? Or was that me?
You imagine that. I think that might be you. I always think it's so chic to get married in black.
Well, maybe it was, it was in part that, like, that you wouldn't wear a white dress symbolizing virginity.
I mean, I would, no, I don't think I could ever wear a maybe not like a white,
or like,
I don't think I could do it. But then being too alternative, being like, she wore red, you know, or something. It's like, you're screwed either way. I know we've talked about this in the past.
No,
but it's like, it's the invented choice. It's this optic of like, there is a choice. It's like, no, you're damned. Like you either have to adhere completely to the tradition and any deviation from that is like, there's no, it's the false choice. It's the forced false choice. Either way, you're inscribed in that system. You're not going to escape the horrifying institution just because you wore red.
By rejecting it, you pronounce it. By rejecting it, you acknowledge it. Right.
Yes.
So, you know,
and in your attempt to
heels are present. The idea of heels is more present, not on a woman wearing heels,
but
on a woman wearing Converse under the wedding dress.
Oh, that's so brilliant. Flats. Oh, you're right. Escape.
The heel is never
heels.
More present, and big, right? It's filling the room because it's an idea.
Shoe or flat?
Yeah, the flat takes up
more psychological space.
Right, 24 square inches of space in the room.
Yeah,
heels are filling the minds of all. They're going to the moon and back.
That's amazing.
Gently leading you out, lifting you out, and dunking you into the ads for a fresh swim.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie and Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global.
Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Thinking of popping the question? Diamonds Direct has an offer you can't miss. This month only, buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. No one provides education, selection, and value like Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet from your friends at Diamonds Direct won't last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's Knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's KNIX.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
How'd you like those ads? We're back.
So Young Genius, there's something about, and again, we're not really talking generally in this episode about this, but I'm haunted by the presence of a certain book that I think anyone listening who might be pregnant or in the process of becoming pregnant might hear about, called The Better Baby Book.
What?
Yes. And I'm not kidding you. And it's like a very lauded current book.
Ew.
And it's all about like, sure, you could have a good baby, but what about having a better baby?
No.
I'm
in shock.
Yes. Yes. And it's all about, also, this putting all the pressure on the woman. If you're not eating this amount of zucchini and this amount of flaxseed, whatever,
right,
your shitty baby,
yeah,
isn't going to go to Juilliard,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like, by the way, as though some kind of perfect pregnancy in which you're eating
anything,
this smoothie and those nutrients, as if that's not going to lead to a fucking asshole kid,
right,
who maybe does horrible harm, or it's just quite frankly not too bright, which is the horrifying reality of reproduction, right? Is that sometimes you just have a kid, it doesn't mean you don't love them, but they grow into a massive disappointment. and that's the reality that people can't contend with in romantic relationships with children. It's like you have to recognize that these bonds are still powerful and psychedelically, yes, intense at times. But it doesn't mean you don't look at the person, the child, the person that you love and go, oh, God, like that's OK. Right. And it's,
yeah,
this idea of like and that's when we get into kind of narcissism, or right, the idea of the child as a projection of the parents, the idea of, yeah, the partner as a projection of you. Or it's like, again, this is all kind of half-baked thinking here, but even if you have, so The Better Baby Book, and again, I know almost nothing about it,
yeah,
but this idea of engineering this better baby than the babies that have before.
It's, you know, like the classic, like, I don't know, Twilight Zone, whatever, like, you know, the guy's in heaven, it's great, then it's boring, and it's, oh wait, actually it's hell, right? And this is the, you know, doesn't anything ever change around here? Whatever. Like, you know, like, and we talked about this last week with wellness, about yearning for rapture, et cetera, over, you know, the placid wellness image sounds like hell.
Yeah.
Like the house is clean. Well, I've had, okay, Thus, the perfect baby, you know, whatever the hell that means, is closer to hell than the imperfect baby. Because the imperfect baby has at least something tangible to work on in our tangible world, okay?
Right.
The baby who has transcended all of the human failings.
Humanity. Okay,
basically ready to ascend, okay, at birth. What hell?
Yeah.
Okay, what true hell? Like,
no, absolutely. And like the...
Oh, and deals. Remind me about... Okay, so like deals. Deal hunting, okay? Okay. Hunting for deals, et cetera. Chasing deals, okay? Okay, is something, you know, I enjoy, okay? And... Yeah. I enjoy hunting deals, and I've had moments where that which you seek is given, okay? And you experience a profound meaninglessness, okay? So for example, you finally find a store, let's just say, where everything that you've wanted is there, and it's cheap. Okay, let's just say it's a vintage store out in the middle of nowhere where they don't know what the what it's worth or whatever. Yeah. Okay. And everything you want is there and it's affordable. Okay. It is like pushing up against the door, banging on a door, banging on a door, banging on a door, and someone opens the door and you tumble down. You fall down right into it because you've been pushing against it for so long. And now what? Right. Yeah. This image comes up for me a lot, but the perfect baby. I mean,
good luck. First of all,
what does it even look like? You're kicking the problem further down the line, okay? Because all you're doing is moving the goalpost, okay? Because here's the thing. So you're angry that you're not a poly linguist, okay? You're angry that, you know, all these things that you were robbed of, right? And then you create your perfect nutrient baby or whatever, right? Out of, you know, feeding it the right nutrients. So you have the vessel that's ready to receive. And then you start pumping it full of knowledge. You teach it all the languages. Okay. And you give that baby everything you wish you had in you by, you know, by five years old. Right. And so you think you've done it. But not the baby still
rude.
Is here with wants. So now what does the baby have? The baby speaks five languages and feels alienated from its one language peers.
Exactly.
Okay, and now its life becomes about alienation. You're just kicking
the suffering
down the line.
And it's all, it's all this very human need to avoid pain and suffering. But it's like, good luck. You can be the and again, not taking into account the way this like exceptionalism is like damaging or something. But just like, it doesn't matter. You're still... That baby still might not be funny. Probably won't be.
Well, the baby itself, though, even the baby itself. Okay, the nurturing is the violence, right? So,
as someone who is over-nurtured, I can tell you.
As the parent presses nutrients into the baby. Okay, let's just, as a visual, press, push, push, push. Okay, the baby looks up and sees...
The maniacal, the mania, the desperation, the eye.
So you have just displaced lack of nutrient, you know, or bad nutrition. You've displaced it with the pushing of your own manic desire to have a perfect child. And I'll take the
thus possibly
I'll take the oxidants or whatever. I'll take the bad nutrition.
Also, therefore, potentially erasing who that person might actually be. Or it's like what you're actually doing by those like my baby listens to Beethoven and we're teaching it four languages.
Yeah.
You're potentially erasing a much better person through this like rigorous application of these skills.
Yes.
And I just want to say that there used to be an infomercial called My Baby Can Read. Did you ever see these on the television?
There was
an infomercial that used to haunt me,
right?
And it was called My Baby or Your Baby Can Read. And there were these commercials and there were straight up babies in high chairs being like in their baby voices reading and being like, you know, the cat jumped over the fucking dog or whatever, and everyone's freaking out, and they have these huge flash cards. I have to look it up.
An audience full of people are clapping and applauding,
and it's like, so the baby learns to read.
Right. And then what?
Also, what even is that? I mean, don't get me started on parrots. And like, it's like, what is language? Like, how does it all? I don't know. Well, I don't even know how to get into that.
Oh,
but like,
well, a parrot,
your baby.
Speaking, you mean, what's the meaning? Is it real? Are they thinking?
We never want to talk about it. How? Parrots talking is something that I'll never get over. And it's just like, I saw a parrot recently that was like, hey, how are you? And it was just like, what? Like, I'll never not be stunned by the parrot talking. And I don't understand how we're supposed to just go, parents can talk.
Okay.
What?
No, I'd like a full episode on that. But I will give one joke that I heard from a taxi driver that I thought was very funny. Okay.
Okay.
Because he dropped me off at the comedy club. You know, he had a joke. Okay. And it's related to a parrot. Okay. I've probably told it to you before. It's the one time I've heard a street joke and enjoyed it. All right. You ready? It's as simple as this. A guy walks by a pet shop. There's a parrot in the window. Oh, sorry. It's a woman. It's a woman who walks by. And it's essential because you'll see the gendered issues of ugliness and attractiveness. Yeah. Okay. The stakes are higher with a woman, of course. Okay. The walks by, the parrot says, "You're ugly." Okay. The woman's horrified. Okay. She's walking to work the next day, walks past the pet shop. This new parrot, okay, goes, "You're ugly." Okay. She goes, this is unacceptable. It goes into the pet shop. Okay. Says, "You got to do something about this. This parrot's calling me ugly. It's horrible." Okay. Okay. Leaves, whatever. They go, okay. All right. I'll talk to him. Okay. And then, okay, I'm elaborating ever so slightly. Okay. But anyway, third day, walks by, looks at the parrot. Okay. And the parrot looks at her and says, "You know."
Oh, brutal.
It's funny, right? I love it. I love it.
And it's very profound.
I think so. I think so too, because ultimately it's the problem is in the woman, right? The problem's not in the parrot, right? the parrot has affirmed. I mean, it's the woman's fear is the problem. The woman walking into the store to have the parrot, you know, corrected, right, reveals a profound insecurity. So the "you know" doesn't even just mean, you know what I'm thinking. Okay. It's profound. It's profound. It's one of the few street jokes, as they say.
I love
language, parrots. You have, oh, right. Babies who can read, right?
I'm literally looking up the Better Baby book just because I can't imagine if being pregnant, that the pressure of that to like construct this perfect person is just like.
No, that's got to be absolutely abandoned.
Here's what it's actually called. The Better Baby Book, How to Have a Healthier, Smarter, Happier Baby.
Yeah, right.
Good luck, bitch.
The very moment you bought that book is the moment it was over.
And it's like, oh,
the
it's
very
like,
moment that book's on your
and
shelf.
And it's the cover is this like white, okay, this is it. A white, oh, you know, this white woman with, and this is the ultimate, this is the ultimate white fantasy, brown hair, blue eyes.
Wait. This is the white fantasy because let me try to guess.
Because the mystique of a white woman, that thing of the brown haired, blue eyed woman.
No, I want to take this in. Okay, so this is a white. You're talking about white fantasy of a white woman with brown hair and blue eyes
and blue eyes. Something about that. Yeah.
Well, yes, because here's this was my first guess. Reading on to you. Okay, what assuming this was an original of yours. Okay. Is it you get the intellectualism of a brunette? Okay, you're not sullied. You're not sullied by blondness.
Spread eagle idea. Position of a blonde.
Spread eagle blondness. Yeah. Okay, you get the blue, the exotic, and the beauty of a rare blue eye.
Exactly.
Okay, held in the promise. Held, you know, it's a jewel inside of a book.
Yes, correct. Correct.
Because I feel like the blue eye on the blonde gets kind of swallowed by the blonde identity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, you're exactly right. And so this woman on the cover posed in this really bizarre thing. She's smiling with this like garish kind of like slutty like, "Oh no, I got fucked." Ew. And like she has this bowl. And by the way, this is weird. Presumably she's drinking broth because there's a spoon in the air with nothing on it. And she's cupping a white bowl. So this like emptiness, I mean,
she's holding an empty spoon above a bowl of something.
Yes, she's spooning something into her mouth, presumably, but the spoon is empty.
Visibly empty.
Which is obviously visibly clearly empty.
Could the spoon be on the
way down?
A
harrowing sign of things to come.
Could the spoon be on the way down?
You're a genius. The spoon could be on the way down. It could be on the way down. But I just have, but.
No, nonetheless, the way you read it is the way, is half of how people will read it.
By the way, this woman looks 14, like. How like hot women are supposed to still look like babies.
Right.
So she almost looks like a little baby. So it's like a pregnant baby being like,
eating,
I can help you have a better
you don't have
baby.
To chew. Eating something you don't have to chew. You know what I'm saying? Like she's spoon feeding herself. It's like baby food. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just going to go quickly because I'm looking at the table of contents.
Give me more.
You are a co-creator, the Better Baby Plan.
Ew.
And then such things as, you know, what not to eat. Terrifying. But I'm also can't wait to see.
What if you and me did the Better Baby book while we were birthing, you know, creative projects, like real sickos?
I know. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be sick and twisted? Wait. Oh, wait. What's the font like?
Of the cover?
Yeah. Because I have a theory. I want you said earlier the font said Juilliard, period. I'm
curious. By the way, I'm not kidding. It's similar to the...
I mean, this is not an academic book. There's no way. So I would be astonished if they didn't, if they had a had any serifs.
What's a serif?
It better not be anything approaching handwriting.
No, no, it's not. Although you'd think. I'm picturing a chalkboard with like chalk font. The better,
a woman's journal.
No, but it's in a blue tone similar to the Juilliard sweatshirt from earlier, which is that kind of modern, kind of airy, kind of...
like a periwinkle headed towards aqua?
Yeah, it's periwinkle.
Millennial blue, a sort of sense.
Something like that.
What millennial pink is.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know what's humiliating? This idea of millennial pink. Okay, whatever, fine. There is a vast discrepancy among the pinks that people are calling it. Even if you look online, if you search millennial pink, there's stuff from peach to freaking bubblegum. It's pathetic.
Sorry, I'm getting distracted. I have to look away. I just saw a comment that said anti-vaccine, otherwise great.
Oh
yeah, you know this bitch is gonna be like,
that's classic.
This woman's gonna be like, I wouldn't do it for my better baby, but if you want a less better baby, you could consider getting vaccinated.
But ask your doctor.
And so there's a lot of non-better babies that might die because my better baby, we're too scared of what this, oh my god.
Well, right, it's the ultimate my baby over your baby model.
It's ultimate better baby model.
Get this book, yeah, and your baby, my baby, will be better than your baby.
My baby over.
I mean, well, the classic things like a parent that believes their baby is exceptional is all, you know, is damaging.
It's so heartbreaking. Get a grip. Oh my god. I mean, I can't imagine.
Also, the baby that's taught to read, okay, before they even know what reading is, then what's being robbed from them is the desire to read.
Completely. The natural curiosity that should arise.
They're clawing towards
it. They're going to hate reading. Yeah. It's really sinister.
Yeah, to claw your way. I mean, I remember when I was pre-reading.
And why is your baby going to be better so that it gets a job? Like, literally, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what is the what is the logical?
Yeah,
it's like obviously like the capitalist thing of like, well, my baby's going to invent an app.
Yeah. So you're robbing them of the desire to read, and then you're robbing them of the satisfaction of life on earth, which is clawing after desires. Okay.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
So for example, you know, no one gave me the baby program, and I remember having books in my room before I knew how to read, and I thought, I wonder how you read. Okay. And I thought, maybe sounding out words, what you're doing, maybe it's saying the letters really fast.
Wow.
So like if cat is C-A-T, so I'm looking at a word, I'm going, I know it's a C, an A, and a T. I go, siete, siete. Again, I'm like, perhaps that word is siete. What's siete? Is that a word?
Okay. So cute.
So I was like trying to figure it out on my own.
And here we go, my fantasy of having you as my daughter.
Right. And then the presence of the fantasy of me next to whatever your daughter would actually be, the secondary family, mm-hmm. your older brother, so to speak, and shadow.
Yeah.
Was it the shadow your id displaced? Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, but robbing the baby of the desire, right? And similarly, the young prodigy. I mean, for all of it, I love to claw. Okay. I love to claw my way to the top. I'm a striver to the end. So are you. You're a striver.
We all are.
That's huge.
It's okay to be hungry.
Yes.
And it's okay to be a failure and to be a non-prodigy, of course.
All right, thank you for listening.
This was fun. This was a spirited conversation. I'm excited to see if I win the Juilliard sweatshirt. I did bid $30, so I assume it will be rejected cruelly.
Imagine if you and I drive it up to 600 by morning.
Oh, love ya. And love you, the listener.
Love you, the listeners. Keep posting. Thank you so much.
That was Poog.
If you enjoyed Poog, please subscribe, rate, and review. If not, we will press charges.
Diamonds Direct has done it again. This month only, get ready for an offer you can't resist. Buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. That's right, a stunning diamond tennis bracelet at no extra cost. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. So hurry into Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet will not last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, deep calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcast.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.